Telc. English B2. Technical. Mock Examination 1.
Part A. Specifications and Operating Procedures. Two valves used to control pressure. The two diagrams, 1 and 2, illustrate the two different types of valves used to control the flow of water. Some parts have been labelled A to K. First, look at the general layout of the diagrams and read the test items. Then, listen to the speaker. You will hear the text in two parts. You may take notes if you wish. After each part, you will have time to study the diagrams again and read the test items. Decide whether the sentences are correct, yes, or incorrect, no, and add the missing words. You will then hear the complete text a second time. When you have heard the complete text a second time, check your answers and transfer your answers to the answer sheet. Please note, minor spelling mistakes will not affect the result. Before the speaker starts, you have 90 seconds to study the diagrams. Part 1. Diagram 1. After this, answer items 34 to 38.
Now let's turn to Diagram 1. This Diagram 1 shows an automatic valve used to control the water pressure downstream of it. As you probably know, such valves are used in industry and in town water supplies. In the diagram, the pressure on the left is controlled. By opening and closing as needed, the valve keeps the downstream water pressure constant. It could be used to supply water at an even pressure to a street, so that the water pressure remains constant no matter how many houses in the street use the water. Generally speaking, the valve operates like a water tap in a house. A cone-shaped metal part, called the valve plug, is pushed downwards into an angled metal hole called the valve seat. When the two are in contact with each other, no water can flow. Valve plug and valve seat can be seen in the centre of the diagram, there. Now, if a tap downstream is opened, the pressure downstream begins to fall. This lower pressure is present also in the chamber on the top of the valve, called the control chamber. Because the chamber is connected to the main pipe downstream of the valve by a thin pipe called the sensing tube. The dome-shaped control chamber and the sensing tube are clearly seen in the diagram. The control chamber is sealed across its greatest diameter by a thin disc of reinforced rubber, designed to have a very long operating life. The movement of the rubber seal is opposed by a spring, called the control spring, which fits over the plug shaft and is held compressed between the pipe section of the valve and the rubber seal. A valve such as this one is not adjustable. To change the operating pressure, a new rubber seal and control spring must be installed. However, it will operate for some years without maintenance.
Now answer items 34 to 38. You will have 60 seconds for this. Now listen to the second part. After this, answer items 39 to 43.
Now let's turn to diagram 2, which shows a similar valve to 1, but adapted for a different purpose. On the extreme right of this diagram, you'll see a water tank. This tank is filled through a pipe, drawn schematically with broken lines at the bottom of the diagram. Whether or not the tank is filled depends on the movements of a system of rods, levers, and a level sensor, which I'll explain in some detail now. The ball-shaped element situated in the float chamber next to the water tank is called the float. As its name suggests, the float floats on the surface of the water. Now, let us suppose the water level in the water tank falls. As it falls, the water level in the float chamber also falls, and consequently, so does the float. As the float moves down, it will transmit its downward movement through a system of levers all the way down to the valve, where the two conical-shaped plugs open the valve. You can see the plugs towards the bottom of the diagram in the center of the valve. A section of the rod, seen in the center of the drawing, is made adjustable. This part serves to lengthen or shorten the rod, which connects the upper with the lower lever. Lengthening or shortening the rod will affect the opening and closing point of the valve. There are two counterweights mounted on the left-hand sides of each of the two levers, which serve to adjust the valve. Moving them horizontally along the levers will again alter the opening and closing point of the valve. The arrangement includes a non-return valve located in the feed pipe at the bottom of the diagram. It's a safety device which, as you can see, will close if the water pressure in the feed pipe falls, and it thus prevents the tank emptying if the water supply fails.
Now answer items 39 to 43. You will have 60 seconds for this. Now listen to the complete text.
Now let's turn to diagram 1. This diagram 1 shows an automatic valve used to control the water pressure downstream of it. As you probably know, such valves are used in industry and in town water supplies. In the diagram, the pressure on the left is controlled. By opening and closing as needed, the valve keeps the downstream water pressure constant. It could be used to supply water at an even pressure to a street, so that the water pressure remains constant no matter how many houses in the street use the water. Generally speaking, the valve operates like a water tap in a house. A cone-shaped metal part, called the valve plug, is pushed downwards into an angled metal hole called the valve seat. When the two are in contact with each other, no water can flow. Valve plug and valve seat can be seen in the center of the diagram, there. Now, if a tap downstream is opened, the pressure downstream begins to fall. This lower pressure is present also in the chamber on the top of the valve, called the control chamber. Because the chamber is connected to the main pipe downstream of the valve by a thin pipe called the sensing tube. The dome-shaped control chamber and the sensing tube are clearly seen in the diagram. The control chamber is sealed across its greatest diameter by a thin disc of reinforced rubber, designed to have a very long operating life. The movement of the rubber seal is opposed by a spring called the control spring, which fits over the plug shaft and is held compressed between the pipe section of the valve and the rubber seal. A valve such as this one is not adjustable. To change the operating pressure, a new rubber seal and control spring must be installed. However, it will operate for some years without maintenance. Now let's turn to diagram 2, which shows a similar valve to 1, but adapted for a different purpose. On the extreme right of this diagram, you'll see a water tank. This tank is filled through a pipe, drawn schematically with broken lines at the bottom of the diagram. Whether or not the tank is filled depends on the movements of a system of rods, levers, and a level sensor, which I'll explain in some detail now. The ball-shaped element situated in the float chamber next to the water tank is called the float. As its name suggests, the float floats on the surface of the water. Now, let us suppose the water level in the water tank falls. As it falls, the water level in the float chamber also falls, and consequently, so does the float. As the float moves down, it will transmit its downward movement through a system of levers all the way down to the valve, where the two conical-shaped plugs open the valve. You can see the plugs towards the bottom of the diagram in the center of the valve. A section of the rod, seen in the center of the drawing, is made adjustable. This part serves to lengthen or shorten the rod, which connects the upper with the lower lever. Lengthening or shortening the rod will affect the opening and closing point of the valve. There are two counterweights mounted on the left-hand sides of each of the two levers, which serve to adjust the valve. Moving them horizontally along the levers will again alter the opening and closing point of the valve. The arrangement includes a non-return valve located in the feed pipe at the bottom of the diagram. It's a safety device which, as you can see, will close if the water pressure in the feed pipe falls, and it thus prevents the tank emptying if the water supply fails.
Now, transfer your answers to the answer sheet. You will have 60 seconds for this. Part B. Discussions and lectures. Danger. Risky Kenobis. You will now hear an interview from a radio program. Recent tests have shown that some cars are dangerous to drive. You are going to hear an interview with a representative of the Car Owners Association talking about tests done and the results found. She will be talking about one type of car in particular, the Kenobi BK. First, read the test items 44 to 53 on the examination paper. You will have 2 minutes for this. Then, listen to the interview. After that, you will hear the interview again, this time in two sections. After each section, you will have time to mark whether the sentences are true, yes, or not true, no, on your answer sheet. You now have 2 minutes to read the test items. Danger. Risky Kenobis.
Tests done recently in the USA and here in Britain, as well as reports from owners of Kenobi cars, have shown that Kenobi BKs can roll over at speeds as low as 20 miles per hour. I'm going to talk to Marion Fielding from the Car Owners Association about the tests done and the accidents that have happened as a result of this danger in Kenobi cars. Marion, why did you, the Car Owners Association, decide to do tests on these cars?
Well, last year we heard that the Car Owners Federation in the United States had found that the Kenobi Caro was liable to roll over when being put through their accident avoidance test. We had only had a few reports of accidents involving this type of car, but we decided to find out more about these accidents by doing our own tests.
And what have your tests found?
Our own tests were done on only two different Kenobi BKs rather than on all the different models. These tests support the US results. These cars are liable to roll over instead of sliding like most other cars when going round a corner sharply. We think that this is unacceptable to Kenobi drivers, their passengers, and other road users in general.
How were the tests done?
We put the Kenobis at 20 miles per hour through a test which includes a very tight bend. Our driver had to stop this test in the middle because he was sure the car would roll over.
Have you done this test on many other types of car?
Oh, yes. We've been doing this test on cars for 25 years, normally at twice the speed. and have never before found a car so liable to roll over.
Does Kenobi know about this danger?
The company knows that the cars are far less stable than other cars. Their handbook even advises drivers to avoid sharp turns. It says that failure to operate the car correctly may result in loss of control or the car rolling over. But we feel that even a very careful driver might find himself in situations where he cannot avoid a sharp turn. No car should roll over if going at a low speed.
Have there been many accidents because of this?
We've now heard of 24 cases of Kenobis rolling over at quite low speeds. These have resulted in 2 deaths and 23 people hurt. There have been 95 accidents of this kind reported in the US.
Is anything being done about it?
We have told the Ministry of Transport about what we have found, as well as Kenobi. We've asked Kenobi to stop selling these cars and to warn all owners. But nothing has happened. We feel very strongly that something must be done before more people are killed or hurt. A number of accidents have happened, although drivers were doing nothing dangerous at all and were not even driving fast. Since doing the tests, we have heard of accidents in other parts of the world, as well as accidents which happened when using reverse gear, braking suddenly, and driving in and out of narrow entrances. We do not have details of these accidents, but we would warn Kenobi owners to think very carefully about using their cars, and especially about letting other drivers use them. Also, we would like to hear from anyone who has had an accident with one of these cars or any other Kenobi model.
Thank you very much, Marion, for this information.
Now listen to the text in 2 parts.
Tests done recently in the USA and here in Britain, as well as reports from owners of Kenobi cars, have shown that Kenobi BKs can roll over at speeds as low as 20 miles per hour. I'm going to talk to Marion Fielding from the Car Owners Association about the tests done and the accidents that have happened as a result of this danger in Kenobi cars. Marion, why did you, the Car Owners Association, decide to do tests on these cars?
Well, last year we heard that the Car Owners Federation in the United States had found that the Kenobi Caro was liable to roll over when being put through their accident avoidance test. We had only had a few reports of accidents involving this type of car, but we decided to find out more about these accidents by doing our own tests.
And what have your tests found?
Our own tests were done on only 2 different Kenobi BKs rather than on all the different models. These tests support the US results. These cars are liable to roll over instead of sliding like most other cars when going round a corner sharply. We think that this is unacceptable to Kenobi drivers, their passengers, and other road users in general.
How were the tests done?
We put the Kenobis at 20 miles per hour through a test which includes a very tight bend. Our driver had to stop this test in the middle because he was sure the car would roll over.
Have you done this test on many other types of car?
Oh, yes. We've been doing this test on cars for 25 years, normally at twice the speed, and have never before found a car so liable to roll over.
Does Kenobi know about this danger?
The company knows that the cars are far less stable than other cars. Their handbook even advises drivers to avoid sharp turns. It says that failure to operate the car correctly may result in loss of control or the car rolling over. But we feel that even a very careful driver might find himself in situations where he cannot avoid a sharp turn. No car should roll over if going at a low speed.
Now answer items 44 to 48.
Have there been many accidents because of this?
We've now heard of 24 cases of Kinobis rolling over at quite low speeds. These have resulted in 2 deaths and 23 people hurt. There have been 95 accidents of this kind reported in the US.
Is anything being done about it?
We have told the Ministry of Transport about what we have found, as well as Kinobi. We've asked Kinobi to stop selling these cars and to warn all owners. But nothing has happened. We feel very strongly that something must be done before more people are killed or hurt. A number of accidents have happened, although drivers were doing nothing dangerous at all and were not even driving fast. Since doing the tests, we have heard of accidents in other parts of the world, as well as accidents which happened when using reverse gear, braking suddenly, and driving in and out of narrow entrances. We do not have details of these accidents, but we would warn Kinobi owners to think very carefully about using their cars, and especially about letting other drivers use them. Also, we would like to hear from anyone who has had an accident with one of these cars or any other Kinobi model.
Thank you very much, Marion, for this information.
Now answer items 49 to 53. Cooling down process heat. You will now hear a speaker describing ways of cooling down process heat in power stations. First, look at the diagram and read the sentences 54 to 58. You will have 90 seconds for this. Then listen to the speaker. After that, you will hear the speaker again. Then mark whether the sentences are true, yes, or not true, no, on the answer sheet. You now have 90 seconds to study the diagrams. Cooling down process heat.
Heat, or waste heat, is an almost natural byproduct of many industrial processes. This is particularly true for the generation of electrical power in thermal power stations. Thermal power stations are those that generate electricity by means of burning fossil fuels, but also in nuclear power stations. In such power stations, the laws of physics limit the reduction of waste heat beyond a certain point. If this heat cannot be put to any sensible use, it must be cooled down. Several approaches to cooling down this process heat exist, and I will explain two of them now. Figure A shows the once-through cooling system. A once-through cooling system uses water drawn either from a lake or a river to supply cooling water to the heat exchanger. The heated water is then returned to the body of water. As a result of all the heat being discharged into rivers or lakes with such a system, the term thermal pollution has assumed significance. Laws now severely restrict the use of once-through cooling, so that often it's not even available as an option. In such cases, closed-cycle cooling systems present an alternative. The next figure, figure B, shows a closed-cycle cooling system. Here the cooling water is continuously recirculated through the power plant by means of large pumps. A cooling tower is used to remove the heat added to the circulating water. Now, water drawn from a natural source, again this could either be a lake or a river, would be used only to make up for losses. This isn't very much, and the job is done by a small pump, seen here as pump Y. Figure B shows a mechanical draft cooling tower, in which a large diameter fan, driven by an electric motor, forces air through the circulating water. There are also natural draft design towers, which do not need electricity to drive the fans. They are thus more energy efficient, but the towers are much taller, and they are therefore often not wanted for environmental reasons. Heat, or waste heat, is an almost natural byproduct of many industrial processes. This is particularly true for the generation of electrical power in thermal power stations. Thermal power stations are those that generate electricity by means of burning fossil fuels, but also in nuclear power stations. In such power stations, the laws of physics limit the reduction of waste heat beyond a certain point. If this heat cannot be put to any sensible use, it must be cooled down. Several approaches to cooling down this process heat exist, and I will explain two of them now. Figure A shows the once-through cooling system. A once-through cooling system uses water drawn either from a lake or a river to supply cooling water to the heat exchanger. The heated water is then returned to the body of water. As a result of all the heat being discharged into rivers or lakes with such a system, the term thermal pollution has assumed significance. Laws now severely restrict the use of once-through cooling, so that often it's not even available as an option. In such cases, closed-cycle cooling systems present an alternative. The next figure, figure B, shows a closed-cycle cooling system. Here the cooling water is continuously recirculated through the power plant by means of large pumps. A cooling tower is used to remove the heat added to the circulating water. Now, water drawn from a natural source, again this could either be a lake or a river, would be used only to make up for losses. This isn't very much, and the job is done by a small pump, seen here as pump Y. Figure B shows a mechanical draft cooling tower, in which a large diameter fan, driven by an electric motor, forces air through the circulating water. There are also natural draft design towers, which do not need electricity to drive the fans. They are thus more energy efficient, but the towers are much taller, and they are therefore often not wanted for environmental reasons.
Now, answer items 54 to 58. Part C. Understanding instructions and descriptions. You will now hear five short texts. Before you listen to each individual text, first read the test items and look at the diagrams, if provided. You will have 60 seconds for this. Then, listen to the text. Then, read the sentences again. Now, listen again and decide which test item is correct according to the information given. Mark your answer A, B, or C on the answer sheet. You now have 60 seconds to read the test items. Number 59. New developments in the car industry.
Battery-powered cars provide clean and noiseless alternatives to fuel-powered vehicles for travel in cities. Asia Brown Bovary developed an efficient drive system featuring modern power electronics and a high-energy, rechargeable sodium-sulfur battery as the prime mover. The energy-to-weight ratio of this battery is 4 times that obtained by lead batteries. The new battery, which operates at 300 degrees Celsius, has no secondary reactions or gaseous emissions, and its electrical efficiency is very high. Other electric vehicles require a dense network of charging stations. ABB has overcome this problem by developing an onboard battery charger mounted next to the motor, which only needs to be connected to a household power socket. The new drive system will enable a typical car to be driven at 120 kilometers per hour over a range of 200 kilometers in town traffic. Battery-powered cars provide clean and noiseless alternatives to fuel-powered vehicles for travel in cities. Asia Brown Bovary developed an efficient drive system featuring modern power electronics and a high-energy, rechargeable sodium-sulfur battery as the prime mover. The energy-to-weight ratio of this battery is 4 times that obtained by lead batteries. The new battery, which operates at 300 degrees Celsius, has no secondary reactions or gaseous emissions, and its electrical efficiency is very high. Other electric vehicles require a dense network of charging stations. ABB has overcome this problem by developing an onboard battery charger mounted next to the motor, which only needs to be connected to a household power socket. The new drive system will enable a typical car to be driven at 120 kilometers per hour over a range of 200 kilometers in town traffic.
Now, answer item 59. Number 60. Shop floor safety instruction.
When working with this lathe, you must remember to clean it after each work period. Clean it with a medium-width paintbrush to remove all the metal chips. Never, I repeat, never use your hands, as these metal chips can be very sharp. Also, don't use compressed air, as flying particles might injure you or a nearby person. Finish by wiping down the machine with a soft cloth. Keep the floor around the machine clear of chips and cutting fluid, and keep oily cloths in a metal container that can be closed tightly, as they present a fire hazard. Most importantly, however, always wear appropriate clothing and goggles, and avoid wearing greasy clothes. They catch fire easily. Now, let's come to the operation of the lathe. When working with this lathe, you must remember to clean it after each work period. Clean it with a medium-width paintbrush to remove all the metal chips. Never, I repeat, never use your hands, as these metal chips can be very sharp. Also, don't use compressed air, as flying particles might injure you or a nearby person. Finish by wiping down the machine with a soft cloth. Keep the floor around the machine clear of chips and cutting fluid, and keep oily cloths in a metal container that can be closed tightly, as they present a fire hazard. Most importantly, however, always wear appropriate clothing and goggles, and avoid wearing greasy clothes. They catch fire easily. Now, let's come to the operation of the lathe.
Now answer item 60. Number 61. Solar heating. The simplest solar energy systems are those designed for domestic space and hot water heating. In such systems, an inclined, southerly-facing collector is typically coupled with a heat storage tank. The hot water collected in this tank heats up water for the hot water supply or for hot water heating. Diagram A shows a combination system that provides domestic hot water at 65 degrees Celsius and hot water for space heating at somewhat lower temperatures. Two pumps are needed, one to circulate water through the collector and a second one to provide hot water for space heating. Neither of them run constantly, but only when the sun shines, for the collector pump, and when hot water for space heating is needed for the other one. Figure B shows a one-axis concentrator. It can be used if a simple flat plate fixed collector does not provide high enough output temperatures, for example, to produce steam for industrial purposes. The one-axis concentrator can be used for high efficiency and high temperatures at fairly low costs. The design shown in Figure B has a programmable drive to automatically follow the path of the sun. The simplest solar energy systems are those designed for domestic space and hot water heating. In such systems, an inclined, southerly-facing collector is typically coupled with a heat storage tank. The hot water collected in this tank heats up water for the hot water supply or for hot water heating. Diagram A shows a combination system that provides domestic hot water at 65 degrees Celsius and hot water for space heating at somewhat lower temperatures. Two pumps are needed, one to circulate water through the collector and a second one to provide hot water for space heating. Neither of them run constantly, but only when the sun shines, for the collector pump, and when hot water for space heating is needed, for the other one. Figure B shows a one-axis concentrator. It can be used if a simple flat plate fixed collector does not provide high enough output temperatures, for example, to produce steam for industrial purposes. The one-axis concentrator can be used for high efficiency and high temperatures at fairly low costs. The design shown in Figure B has a programmable drive to automatically follow the path of the sun. Now answer item 61. Number 62. High-tension cables for car ignition systems.
In the past, high-tension cables for car ignition systems were constructed from a low-resistance copper core enclosed in a rubber covering which gave the cable the necessary insulation. The rubber was then covered with a cotton band, and the whole cable was coated with a kind of paint to protect it from wear and corrosion. In the new high-tension cables, the copper core has remained unchanged, but the cotton and paint layers have been replaced with inorganic material. This is more efficient in protecting the rubber from heat, cold, oil, wear and corrosion. In the past, high-tension cables for car ignition systems were constructed from a low-resistance copper core enclosed in a rubber covering which gave the cable the necessary insulation. The rubber was then covered with a cotton band, and the whole cable was coated with a kind of paint to protect it from wear and corrosion. In the new high-tension cables, the copper core has remained unchanged, but the cotton and paint layers have been replaced with inorganic material. This is more efficient in protecting the rubber from heat, cold, oil, wear and corrosion.
Now answer item 62. Number 63. Comparing energy costs.
Diagram 1 will serve to illustrate our brief comparison between hydrogen, natural gas, and electricity as sources of energy. The columns show clearly that the end price for natural gas is much lower than the price for hydrogen gas and electricity. Not only are the production costs of natural gas lower, but also the costs for transmission and distribution. The column for hydrogen energy shows interesting characteristics. While the production cost is higher than the one for electric power, the final selling price is lower due to relatively low transmission and distribution costs. It is, however, still more expensive than the price of natural gas energy. But this may change in the future, as obviously there are only limited resources of natural gas, so that in the future, hydrogen energy may become a very competitive form of energy. Diagram 1 will serve to illustrate our brief comparison between hydrogen, natural gas, and electricity as sources of energy. The columns show clearly that the end price for natural gas is much lower than the price for hydrogen gas and electricity. Not only are the production costs of natural gas lower, but also the costs for transmission and distribution. The column for hydrogen energy shows interesting characteristics. While the production cost is higher than the one for electric power, the final selling price is lower due to relatively low transmission and distribution costs. It is, however, still more expensive than the price of natural gas energy. But this may change in the future, as obviously there are only limited resources of natural gas, so that in the future, hydrogen energy may become a very competitive form of energy.
Now answer item 63. Part D, taking notes. In this section, you will hear 10 short recordings. Listen to each recording and then make a note of the information given on the answer sheet, as in the example below. Please note, you will hear the recording only once. Example. Question.
What is the power range of your motors?
We can supply motors from 1.25 to 9.8 horsepower.
Answer. 1.25 to 9.8 horsepower.
Number 64. What is your name, please?
My name is Mutswami. That's Mutswami.
Number 65. How many employees do you have exactly?
We now have 6,492 employees.
Number 66. When can you deliver the goods?
They will be sent to you in 8 to 10 days.
Number 67. What size is the paper?
The paper is slightly larger than A4. It measures 215 millimetres by 312 millimetres.
Number 68. What is the initial cost of each lens?
Each lens will initially cost £75 to £82.
Number 69. Can you give me your fax number?
My number is 06543 7650.
Number 70. What size are they?
We use American sizes, so that's 8.5.
Number 71. What is the weight of the consignment?
The consignment will have a total weight of 23,500 kilograms.
Number 72. How much is the VAT on that order?
The VAT amounts to £75.43.
Number 73. Can you tell me the invoice number?
The number is FG18654A.
That is the end of Part D. End of the recording.